universe is everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Zoe Avery.
Welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical and spiritual show designed to open your eyes to the greater possibilities of life, and thanks for joining us. For those of us for the first time, what makes this show so unique is that every week Nick demonstrates his exceptional gift of deep trance channeling live on air. He channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. They're an educational group, and they are here to give us knowledge and information that we'd never have access to in any other way. And this week was going to be, part 15 of Gregory's journey in the spirit world. So if you'd like to participate and call us with a question or comment to Gregory about the topic tonight, it's not a reading show, but do join in with a question if you'd like to. It's toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And if there's any international callers around, it's 001-530-876-3222. But that's not a free call. The international call is not a free call.
Okay. Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com, every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, we have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, book an Akashic reading, please do. Go visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also at www.spiritsworkradio.com. I knew I would screw that up one week. Well, anyway, as Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium, which means that I am a pure channel for the spirit world, enabling clear, concise communication from those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. In this way, each week on our show, Sylvie has a conversation with our spirit friends so that they can give us the benefit of their wisdom, and as a result, we can get a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we never really realized were available to us. When I go into the deep trance state, I will not know of anything that happens until they bring me back again. And that is how it should be, because we wouldn't want any thoughts and feelings from my own mind getting in the way of the contact and the control by spirit. Okay, well, it's goodbye from him, and
Over to her.
Okay, have a good show, everyone, and I'll see you next week. On Thursday.
Yes. Gregory was asked before his physical life in the early 1700s if he would like to train to be the representative of this educational group who were going to be helping the people of the earth discover a more harmonious way of life and find out more about the meaning of their life. Plus, the implications of the group was to understand the what we're doing to our planet to aid us on the road to recovery and raise the vibration of the planet in the process, hopefully. So that is actually what these shows have been about. It's always been all about how Gregory, we've been talking about how his life before the spirit world journey, before the earth journey in the spirit world, his earth journey, and now back in the spirit world, and his continuation on with the White Cloud Group and all that entails, plus his life and what he does. So the members of the White Cloud Group consist of many eminent scientists and physicists and scholars, as well as ordinary people. And between them, they have vast knowledge and insight. I guess they try to help us to look at the bigger picture of life and to think outside of the box. to explain situations that affect us and our future and the future of the planet. And of course, those who wish to come after us who haven't yet had a physical life. So I'm excited for part 15 today. I do believe Gregory is with us. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, my dear friend. With love at sight, blessings be upon your pathway.
Thank you. Where would you like to start today? I couldn't possibly start going through all of the weeks that we've talked about so far. It's just there's just too much information, really, and I'd like you to start today, and then we'll just take it from there, if that's okay.
Absolutely so, my dear friend. Well, last time in this particular program, within this series, we were talking and I was telling you about the situation from the spirit world's perspective about our dear friend's development and how that actually came about within the spirit circle, the home circle that you were all a part of. But actually, I didn't include any of the situation or information to do with you. And I didn't include that on purpose. Because actually what I did do was that I tried to explain all about the situations of control, the situations of that were happening in the dynamic of the group at the time. This is because I wanted to have it so that those listening to it, this program, would actually understand the different dynamic range that consisted of the group in the development circle itself. And the fact was, in point of fact, that if you, dear friends, can imagine that the instrument, our dear friend here, was sat inside a physical cabinet. This was arranged at one end of the room. The sitters then were sitting either side of the cabinet. It was a long room, and were sitting behind one another in an arranged, not in a circle, but in two lines, I suppose, like that of a herringbone.
That's a good description.
Oh, thank you very much. It was that Sylvie actually was placed to the right side of the situation. If it was that you were looking at it from the instrument's point of view. Now,
the instrument being Mick.
Yes, quite so. Yes. So the situation then was, the reason why it was set in that arrangement was in accordance of energy. So you must remember, of course, that as they were, the love between them was very intensive, so it meant to say that that was the purest connection for the spirit world to actually be able to generate the serotonin necessary for the transformation to take place. Serotonin, as you understand and remember, is the energy, the single chemical reactive process which happens to the physical body, which is brought about by the issuance of love by the other sitters in the group. So other sitters of the development circle, and as I said, there were 12 altogether, that they were supposedly sending their love to the instrument, our dear friend here, so that we could change the vibration and have an interactive sound circle within this group, this kind of group setting, so that it was very much a form of physical mediumship, which in fact true trance actually is. It's a very true form of physical mediumship. Now, so then what happened was that as the group developed, this is partly to do with the harmonic that developed between each member, it is that when you look at any other group, when you are developing transmedium, it means to say that you have to have ultimate harmony in order to bring this about. no matter what the mechanism is going to be employed by the spirit world. Now, for this particular situation, the mechanism happened to be that, as I had said previously, that the sitters enjoyed certain situations of relationship with the instrument, and it transpired that they were able to see transfigurations and that kind of thing brought about by the spirit world on top of, as a mask on the face of the instrument. This was then enabled us to be able to bring about transfigurations of different faces and that kind of thing, different people. It actually transpired that, as I had said last week, that I was actually able to bring the transfiguration of my own face upon it, although nobody actually knew it at the time.
That's right, you haven't emerged then.
No, quite so. And then what happened was that we actually set to work on understanding the different levels of energy coming from each sitter. This was required so that we could actually bring about a real-time sequence of events to determine what actual instrument we were going to use, what mechanism we were going to use to allow the transfer of various people from the spirit world to take place, so that we could actually remove his consciousness and eventually, of course, his spirit. Of course, we didn't actually realize that was what we were going to have to do in the full realm of the situation. It wasn't until a little later on and the mechanism was put in place that we understood that we had to remove him completely. So then what happened was that we discovered that because of the very depth of relationship between your good self, my dear friend, little bird, and the instrument, it meant that there was a specific key between in that development, and we decided to use that key in order to set up an actual physical mechanism, which was the vortex that we decided to employ in order for the spirits, those in our side of life, to make the transit very closely and very quickly into his physical body, and also allow his consciousness, the instrument's consciousness, to be removed and taken elsewhere into the spirit world. And this is actually what took place. So it actually then became that there was a tie between the issuance of loving energy which came from your solar plexus in particular, and also, of course, as I said last week, aided and abetted by the other sitters. The situation then became much more cohesive, I suppose, and that it was because of the fact that you were sitting so close that we were able then to bring about the vortex. We began to circulate the energy in front of you, in fact. And that's actually what happened, because you were sitting slightly to one side to the, let us see, that would have been to his right-hand side. If you were looking at it, mm-hmm. viewing from the other end, it would have been the left side.
Mm-hmm.
And that you were sitting to the left side, so that the person sitting down at the back of the room, looking at it, actually had a clear view of the medium for the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became that we were initially supposed to actually set this up in a quiet situation. And as I had said, that it then became apparent that various volatile energies existed within the actual development group. So we had to have it so that the situation of the vortex was much more stable. So it then required that we used much more of your energy, little bird, in order to bring that about.
Mm-hmm.
And we used that as a transference, you see. So that was why usually you had to eat a whole host of biscuits afterwards in order to replace your sugar energy, in order to feel all right again after the session. Now, of course, as at this time, we had various different people. Not only were the transfigurations taking place, but we also had various people trying out our dear friend at that time. Sometimes they would make him feel sick. Sometimes he didn't lose his consciousness. And at other times, he had more grades of inability to recall and remember. And what actually happens during those kinds of development times is that you actually have to go through the process afterward. The sitting lasts for about an hour, and then after that, you have to go round the various circle members of the group to find out what they saw and all of the rest of it. And these notes would all be taken down, of course, by the spirit team, as we did. And we also then, the circle leader would actually ask of the instrument at that time what he experienced. And so he gradually reported different conditions of ability to recall or remember things or not.
And remember things as in people who spoke through him or that?
Well, yes, at that time it was that he recalled people coming very close, certain individuals, children or whoever it was that he could define and feel, and that was then a situation which was reported back and then would be perhaps verified or not by various members of the group as they were sitting in the development process. It depended, of course, on what they saw as well. And that's not psychically. It was actually to do with what they actually saw physically transpire and happen in front of or around the cabinet or around the medium themselves, you see. So it was actually then this time that we began to realize that the group was actually becoming a bit fractured. And that actually transpired that there became more and more negativity the more that the group, the more that the group sat, the worse it became, in a sense. And this happened after, I suppose, a few months. So we actually began realizing that we would actually have to set this up pretty quickly because it only had a finite time. The situation of the group was actually to do with jealousy, to do with specifics of how it was that others felt that they could do better, and all of that, when in actual fact, of course, remember, dear friends, that it was that the spirit world, through Gordon Higginson, had actually asked of them, commanded them all to sit for our dear friend's development. So reluctantly, they actually took that position. So you can imagine then that the situation of love intent to release the serotonin within the medium to bring about the ability for this transformational situation in a very physical way then began to lapse. So we actually relied then more heavily upon you, my dear friend, to be able to produce the energy almost, not by yourself, but between you and about four other members of the group, when the other six members weren't actually producing much at all.
And Gordon Higginson, briefly, for people that don't know who he was.
Yes.
Would you like to explain who he was?
Oh, well, very well, yes. He was actually a physical medium, a very well-known physical medium, who actually passed in 1991, I understand. And that he actually had been instrumental in bringing about the process for our dear friend here, the instrument. So during his life, he had been a very able and gifted clairvoyant, as well as having full command of all of his other senses as well to do with his spirit work, and actually produced amazing transformations, physical transformations and interactivity of the spirit world. Many people came and saw full materialization and that kind of thing, witnessed very many different seances, during his career, and he travelled and toured many countries.
And he was the president of the Spiritualist National Union in the UK for many years, wasn't he?
Oh, yes, absolutely so, yes.
Okay.
Yes, and so in this respect, it's then they always did whatever he said, you see. And remember, of course, that as well, the original communication did not come from any of the circle group members. It came from a visiting medium, sitting for the circle to actually, for a completely different purpose.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yes. So then, the situation then became that during the development process, it became obvious to the spirit team, the various members of it, scientists and everyone, that we had to get our socks on and develop this very quickly. So we used much more of your energy, which was why you were then feeling very depleted at the end of every session. And we actually realized that we would have to bring the event to a close, but also that we would have to do as much work as possible during that time to try to bring about the corrective state. Now, and it actually, for the transformation of his spirit and his consciousness. So it then became that more and more demands were made of this state, and it became more evident that you were in greater trouble in that respect, trying to cope with it virtually on your own, but with the aid of about two or three others in the circle group, and the rest of the energy was really, really quite hostile, and that it actually became, if I remember quite rightly, the actual group was then changed.
Yes, it was.
And the whole sequence of events was that he was no longer in the cabinet.
That's right, yes. We turned up one week and they said that we're not going to do that anymore.
Yes, quite so. Yeah. And somebody else was sitting in the cabinet.
Mm.
And so it actually made it that the whole situation was superfluous, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, I believe, that you were still doggedly in there and trying to continue the circle group. So really, my dear friend, you only actually sat for about 5 months development.
Really?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
The rest of the time was actually this current and eddy of extreme negativity, and which, of course, is never any good in any kind of circle work.
Well, no, and the thing is, not only did I used to go home depleted and...
Were ill, in fact.
Ill. It was negative. The negativity for that we were picking up as well from the other sitters.
Absolutely
people.
So, yes. Yes.
Except our friends.
But yes, yes, your friends within the circle group, of course, as well, Anne and John.
Mm.
And the situation then became... that for want of a better word, for their own private reasons of relationships and that kind of thing, that the whole situation transformed into a totally different scenario, which had actually nothing to do with our dear friend's development whatsoever. So, however, we had by that time, actually I remember that it was just before that departure, that what happened was that we had managed to complete the vortex itself. So then, it really didn't matter whether you continued to do that or not. I, at this time, had still not been able to make a verbal entrance, due to the fact of the intensive negativity at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the situation then became that we... because of your energy and the link with our dear friend the instrument, it meant to say that we could actually begin turning the vortex itself. Up to this point, we had only managed to change and alter the state in relationship between one end to the other end of the vortex. Now, and the vortex at this time had only managed to reach a depth of about 8 feet. So it meant to say then that we had built up this area of about 8 feet in depth, the height of a normal room, and that we were actually able to then compress the energy within it so that we could alter the gravitational field as resulting from the Earth's gravitational pull from the core of the Earth due to the iron content of the center of the Earth. We were then able to diminish that successfully so that we could bring about a very close transference of the spirit world from us in and using into the physical body, so that we were actually able then, because of this key that you had enabled, because of the sitting, that we wouldn't have actually been able to have brought this about without the initial energies of the other sitters, because we wouldn't have realized that was the mechanic that we had to use.
Absolutely. It's amazing the way, I don't think people realize the negotiations and the that go on behind the scenes, you know, it just happens to me. They don't realise that there's a lot of sort of to-ing and fro-ing and umming and ahhing and
what. Argy-bargy, yes.
Absolutely, you know, that's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, quite so. And so then it became that we felt that we were a secure enough unit just in this situation, yourself, the medium, and the energy vortex that we had, that we were then confident that we would be able to create a home circle environment and continue the work unabated.
Absolutely. So that really was only about 5 or 6 months then?
Yes. In point of fact, yes. Mm. The rest of the time was spent in you, in a sense, struggling to try to maintain some sort of sanity during the situation, and also to finally extricate yourselves from the group itself because of the animosity and the completely different focus of the group, which was, as I say, what was absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with the situation.
It's amazing. I think this might be an eye-opener to our listeners, you know, of how exactly negativity can affect you, especially when you're leaving yourself in that vulnerable position of a development group. And I know we don't do that so much in America, although we're trying to bring that information to America, that it is a really good way to develop your mediumship, to form development circles in that way, but they have to be harmonic.
Yes,
no matter what they are, no matter what sort of mediumship you're working with, if you're working with spirit.
Yes, of course. If you are sitting in a development circle and you are taking it in turns so that you bring about energy, you bring about, perhaps it's a trance circle, for example, so that each person has a chance to sit in the cabinet or to be the focus of that energy and love from the room. That's the point, really, that you are trying to bring about a connective, cohesive force of serotonin from the medium. That's why you're sitting there giving your love to them. And it's only in that situation that it's going to become apparent that that kind of gift may be a part of that instrument's ability, natural ability.
And I don't think people realise the length of time that it takes and the patience that it takes as well for that sort of situation.
Yes, or to actually, really, it's not necessarily either that it will always happen after perhaps a period of months or whatever. It may happen actually very quickly. For example, if it is that the spirit gift of the medium is to do perhaps with direct voice, then that could actually be something which actually happens in spite of the medium, and it may well be that the medium doesn't actually even have to become unconscious.
Okay.
But that's actually very rare. It's only really been Leslie Flint, I suppose, was the greatest exponent of that kind of mediumship.
Well, I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hayes, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery, and I'm Sylvie Avery. If you'd like to join us with a question relating to our subject of of the spirit world, really, and development, and in the main it was Gregory's development with Mick and myself and the group, then do join us, and the phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you, especially if there's anything that we've talked about that you don't understand. So please do give us a ring. The number is a free phone in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756.
Yes. I understand that Julie Day is, in fact, a person who is just beginning to sit for this form, and that it's actually transpired that the spirit team there are actually being able to bring about the transfiguration of voice to a voice box remotely, and that she's actually able to take part in the conversation as well.
Well, yeah, that's wonderful, isn't it? And I think we're going to see if we can have Julie and Warren. Sorry, I forgot his name there.
And Warren Kaler.
And Warren Kaler on the show, maybe, hopefully, in a few weeks' time. So we'll talk to our listeners about physical mediumship at that session. That would be exciting. Something
yes, absolutely.
That we experienced yesterday. So, yes, wonderful. So, so we were extricated from that situation.
Yes.
And then what happened?
So then what happened was that actually I remember that it was the following day.
Oh, gosh. I've been trying to forget that situation for a long time. Go on.
And then the following day, you had begun sitting at home.
Oh, right, yeah.
At the home circle.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was just the two of you, and you were sitting at 5 o'clock in the morning. I remember this very well. we were all thinking, well, this is a turn of events of commitment that has been realized here, and that we thought that it was a perfect time to test the actual mechanism to see what harmony could really do. And that I actually felt as well that it was a good opportunity for me to make my appearance.
Mm.
And so with you sitting at that time, I remember it very well, because you were trussed up like chickens, wrapped up in blankets, and that you were just simply sitting in the one room for our friend. You were actually going to be, you were sitting for each other at that time.
Mm.
And that was then we were first able to actually realize the mechanism in its entirety, and that I was actually able to come through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was amazing. I do remember that. And we actually wrote, or you narrated, The Spirit Within, our first book, not long after that, really.
Yes, that is very true. Mm.
In the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning.
5 o'clock every day, we sat.
Yes.
Rather, you sat and I talked.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm.
And the situation, of course, was that the whole point of that was that we wanted to relate the basis of work of the interrelationship between the spirit world and the physical world. And we thought that that was the most important element to help people to understand that relationship of your physical state to your spirit. Because that is the point which so many people lose touch of, and it is the whole situation as to why your planet is in the dire need that it is in at present. So all of this came about quite simply that we were then able to realize that actually the intensive negative energy, well, it isn't that we didn't realize it, but that we actually then were able to fully utilize the vortex itself. And don't forget, friends, that last week I had said that various people could actually see the energy in the vortex as it was revolving, and that it was going in a clockwise direction at that time, and as it has done ever since.
And actually, I always now, if I can, sit on the left of you so that I don't get caught up in it, because it
yes.
can make me feel a bit ill.
Oh, absolutely so. And in actual fact, it becomes even more intensive when we are doing Akashic readings with you.
Mm.
The reason why that is actually fairly simple. Because of the fact that our dear friend here is the very specific key, without you, he would not be able to do the situation itself. Because of the fact that key exists, it means to say that it was necessary to continue that very specific relationship in that way, I believe.
Yes, we do. Hello, caller.
Hi, Sylvie. Hi, Gregory. How are you doing?
Hi, John. Happy New Year. Haven't spoken to you yet, have we?
I can barely hear you.
Oh, really? Hang on.
No, a little clearer.
There. Hello, dear friend.
Is that any better?
Yes.
Right, you're cutting in and out as well. We're going to have to get a different mechanism for next week.
Well, just continue, friend.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to ask Gregory, are there ever times where there's a strong sense of urgency? And it's funny I just said that because the ambulance with the lights on just went by my window.
Yeah.
I'm asking Gregory if there's any times of urgency on the other side where all of a sudden you have to do something quickly. And when was the last time that this happened?
Oh, yes, an interesting point, dear friend John. Thank you. The situation, the sense of urgency, I suppose, usually turns up if there are developments within the circle group or something like that to do with this kind of development. In any event, when certain events take a turn, usually it is because of negativity and that kind of thing. The sense of urgency then in this group was that we knew that we had to actually confine the energy and make it very, very specific. We knew also that the only constant was going to be that Sylvie, little bird, was the only constant within the setup. So it meant to say then that we had to rely upon her energy, her loving energy, to be able to provide the key for the vortex itself. Now, in other respects of other people's development, it will depend entirely upon how the development has set up. Usually, if you have a situation of clairvoyance or something like that, you don't have that kind of situation, although the spirit world can usually manipulate situations. I understand. I don't mean manipulate in as much as interfere with physical life, but try to bring about things in a very encouraging way, encompassing way, so that we can actually help with that development and prove it, really. And that's the essential part, don't you think?
Mm, absolutely.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, sir. So very much, yes. And welcome once again to this year, yes.
Oh, love the show. Okay, good night.
Thank you.
God bless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then it was a situation that we were sitting together and you came through. Like, we were sitting at 5 o'clock in the morning every
yes.
day and
yes.
you came through. And we were also sitting for mixed development on another night of the week as well, weren't we? With
yes.
friends, with the two friends that came with us.
Yes, Anne and John,
yes,
absolutely so. And so it continued, really, unabated. And so that they were actually then able to help to unify the whole situation as well, of course. In the five or six preceding years after that.
Mm.
And that it was then also decided that at that time, I understand, was the welling up of intensive questioning at that time, as almost unprecedented, really,
mm.
in that respect. We wanted the questioning to be as extensive as possible, because we wanted to be able to prove the situation and the veracity of what we were actually doing and creating. And that was when you most kindly were able to throw open the home circle event so that other people could also take part in it, and that you had up to 8 or 9 visitors every week.
Really?
Yes.
You used to say, bring your questions, bring your really difficult questions. It doesn't matter if you believe or whatever. And
yes.
Our friends used to bring friends and that
yes.
sort of thing.
All kinds of skeptics.
Absolutely, and this is how it was a brilliant grounding for this, the platform for this whole thing that we do. But so does that mean to say that does the vortex in those days when we used to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning?
Yes.
Well, it lasted a long time, actually, wasn't it? But did
it was constant
yes.
for years.
Yes. So was the did the vortex actually physically get attached to me?
Yes. By it is attached to you by an etheric bead in exactly the same way that your spirit is attached to your physical state. Didn't know that, did you?
So does this mean because usually I sit next to Mick when we're doing this, how far would it stretch if I was sitting further away?
Oh, well, approximately about 10 feet.
Right.
Or so.
Mm.
Something like that. So you cannot actually be too far away. And as I was saying before the call, that in point of fact, if we are bringing about a situation of an Akashic reading, that then becomes actually more difficult, because we not only do we have to control the vortex to enable, which is the transfer for me, and don't forget, friends, that in respect of the spirit world, what we are actually doing is that this is actually taking place in the halls of learning. So it means to say that you, your spirit, and your physical body representation of that are actually sat in the same seating arrangement in the spirit world. And that actually then what is happening is that we are, all of this is illuminated by the spirit world, and we are able to interact with you and with our instrument and with the the physical body of the instrument, because obviously what we have to do is that we have to use the scientists to actually maintain the certain specific body functions. We actually leave parts of the subconscious alone in the physical body state so that those physical body functions can be continued. However, of course, we do use the elements of lungs and that kind of thing, because without that we would not be able to speak. We would just be using the mouth parts, and no air would be directed across the voice box itself. So then I transgress a little. So then actually what happens when doing an Akashic reading is that we also have to open the Akashic book as well and keep that interactive. And that actually is created by another shard of energy which comes over from the vortex itself. So it's all a part of the same cycle. So it means to say then that we have a thread of energy comes over from the vortex into our side of life and enables us to give us the energy to be able to manipulate the Akashic book, or whoever it is, whatever client it is that we are reading at that time. The Akashic book, as you may or may not know, is a very live situation. So you would have the pages of your life being reanimated through holographic image and through the intensive memory process, which is layered within the book. And that is how we are able to read the book itself and the pages of life, history that have been traversed before this point in time of the physical being. And it is actually to do with that spirit being's eternal progress throughout the spirit world, throughout the period of time of existence, as moving away from that which is you call God.
Yes, if anybody's interested in Akashic reading, they can go onto our site, which is spirit-teachings.com, and find out more about that. We do phone readings as well. So, I have to say, actually, to everybody that I actually usually am the one that is the most tired after we do Akashic readings, more so than Mick, even though he's been doing the work and he's been non-stop talking for, you know, a few hours or whatever.
Yes, but in actual fact, he's not doing any work at all because we just utilize the physical body using manipulating the mouth parts and the breath, as I say, across the vocal cords in order to be able to utilize that. We don't actually utilize very much of the brain pattern at all. We take some words here and there, words perhaps that are new to us, that we try to incorporate into the language and the structure of language to make it so that it's of a more modern idiom that people can understand. I suppose the point is that, so in this respect, it's not completely my own thoughts and situations, because it's also to do with the thoughts and feelings and understanding from other members of the group in the spirit world. That's why we have the situation set up as we do in the halls of learning, so that many other thousands of beings in the spirit world can actually take part as well, and they direct their energy to the vortex as well. That's the point to remember. It's not something which is purely in the physical state. It's also very much alive in the spirit world, and we're able to bring about this contact between our side of life and yours.
Now, if there was anybody interested in being a trance medium and thinking that this is a really cool thing to do, and it is a great thing to do, this must sound a bit daunting, but it's not all as complicated and as this, is it? But, I mean, it might not be deep trance. And everybody's different, yes. The different levels and that sort of thing, and this is why we try to distinguish between the fact of when people are calling, they say that they're channeling somebody, and the difference between that and the deep trance that we do here now, that they're listening to. It's not so...
But it's not the same at all.
It's not the same at all, no.
No, because what you are then doing is, if you are channeling, you are actually still aware. And that's what happens. You are still aware. So then you are actually feeling that perhaps the spirit being is coming very close to you. Admittedly, you may think that that spirit being actually takes you over, but there will still be a situation where you feel, where you still have a certain degree of awareness of your own physical life, of breathing, of actually being a voyeur, a witness, in a sense, to the goings-on as it happens to the physical state. And so, in many other respects, of course, the person might even say that clairvoyance is channeling. Of course it isn't, because what you are... I suppose, in a sense, you're channeling energies. You are interacting with the energies. You're not actually channeling them. Channeling is the complete transference, or should be. Trance is the complete transference of the spirit energy into the physical body, and the extrication of the spirit energy of the instrument, so that you know you're completely unconscious as a physical being, or anything that might be taking place.
There are a few deep trance mediums that we know of, but they haven't got a vortex situation.
No, that is very true. It's only peculiar to this particular instrument, as far as we are aware at this time. And that was, as I say, because we developed it at that time in the way that we did, so that we could bring about and manifest not only this voice, but also, which is me, of course, in part, but also to do with the transference of spirit from one side of life to the other, and vice versa. So it meant to say say, not only were we doing that, but we were also trying to bring images as well. That is, to bring about manifestation upon the face.
And what about when you take Mick away? I mean, how dangerous is that when you take his spirit and his consciousness somewhere else? I mean, how much happens there?
Well, it's potentially life-threatening in exactly the same way that physical mediumship is life-threatening. It's just because in the respect of physical mediumship, in most forms, in most of its forms, it will be that the physical medium and their consciousness and spirit are actually removed completely from the physical body. So you just have a corpse, basically.
And the etheric bead.
And the etheric bead is therefore then attached from the physical corpse to the actual spirit of the person taken somewhere else in the spirit world. That's exactly the same as it would be if you were having an actual out-of-body experience, of course, as well.
Which is why you are able in the spirit world as spirit guides to, in the sleep state, in the out-of-body condition, to take people on little journeys, because you can direct their spirit somewhere?
Yes, absolutely so. We take them by the hand or whatever it is, and yes, you actually have a hand as a conscious being. Don't forget, friends, it's your consciousness. Your consciousness is not just something of the physical form. Your consciousness is of your spirit. And when you have an out-of-body experience, it is your consciousness, the hand of your consciousness, then. Your consciousness relates to you as a, still as a physical being, even though you're having an out-of-body experience. You actually have the conscious understanding, if you think about it, when you're in your dream state, you actually have arms and legs, even though at much of the time you may not actually feel that. But you can actually create that in your consciousness setting whilst you are having an out-of-body experience. How else would you think that you were seeing something? Are you relating to it then as a consciousness memory of your eyes in your head, or are you just looking as a pure spirit without eyes, perhaps with spirit eyes?
So that's why you can feel like you're running, if you're running away from something in a bad dream or whatever, you know you've got legs.
Yes, and at times, of course, you actually lose the use of those legs because you forget that you have them. And that's actually why you then feel, at those times in a bad dream state or a bad out-of-body experience that you may have, and that can happen at times, depending upon your balance and state of mind, depending upon the interactivity which happens between the spirit world and you. That doesn't mean to say that it brings you into adverse conditions, although you may well be a witness sometimes to adverse conditions in an out-of-body state existence, purely because perhaps there may be some situation that the spirit world, others, members of your team, want to actually relay to you and show you so that you have other interactivity other than your physical life.
So when you, we've only got a minute, so, but when you take Mick off, it's somewhere quite
calm.
Calm, yes, calm. Sometimes quite boring, one would think.
Yes.
Other times more interesting, bottom of the ocean and that sort of thing.
Yes, the plain room, I suppose people would think would be very boring. But then again, actually, it's only a few minutes, really, that he is in the spirit world, because, of course, time doesn't actually exist. So what we do is we actually compress the time into almost nothing, so that actually all he feels is that he has a brief out-of-body experience and then comes back again, even though, like this, an hour, nearly an hour, has passed. And, of course, you will actually, during this process of this kind of interactivity that we're doing here, feel actually not drained after the experience, but because we actually give you all of your energy back in this state. That's why it's a vortex, because it's only revolving the cylinder of energy, enabling the transference, enabling the vortex effect to actually diminish the core existence of the Earth's gravity, so that we are actually then able to use it to have this station, to a platform, as it were, so that we can just take another step into his physical, vacant physical body. And we thank you so much, dear friend, for the love within you that enables this whole situation to take place.
You're welcome.
God bless.
God bless, then.
God bless.
Well, we'd like to thank you for listening this week, and thank you for your call, John. And if you'd like to join us next week, we'd love to have you on the show. And don't forget, we'll be here again on Thursday. So, my name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. Please do join us on our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.